Years ago, and many of you, maybe all of you know, years ago I worked at a hospital and I worked in a lab and I was a phlebotomist, and for my main job was phlebotomy, and I did some histology work as well. But in phlebotomy, you know, obviously you're drawing people's blood, and so one of the patients, or one of the consistent patients that I would draw, was my dentist, and so him and I had this agreement that. That if it didn't hurt me, it wouldn't hurt him. And so I was in his chair one day, and he was drilling on one of my teeth, and he had my face kind of sideways, and he was kind of giving it the what for, and he was drilling and drilling and drilling, and one of my least favorite things to do is go to the dentist, and just me speaking of it kind of gives me the shivers, and he's drilling and drilling and drilling, and after a while I he said, "You can spit," and I spit something out, and I said something, and he said, "What did you say?" Because while he was drilling, he had his arm right up, my eyes were right up into his arm like this, and I said, "You have a really nice vein." And he says, "You're sick." But the dentist would often give me advice, you're not treating your teeth with respect. You're not treating your teeth the way they need to be treated. You have habits that are killing your teeth. You need to do something to stop what's killing your teeth. You have this enamel on your teeth that you're depleting by the way you're treating your teeth and the tobacco habits you have and the different things that are going on in your life, and you're killing your teeth. You need to stay and get your teeth healthy. You wouldn't have to see me as often if you could keep your teeth healthy, because there's this bacteria that's eating away at your enamel, he would say. And there's this acids that are eating away at your enamel. And once it can get through your enamel, which we know the enamel is the hardest product that the body produces. And over time, acids will eat and eat and eat and try to break down the enamel. Because once the enamel gets broke down, and then the acids can get in and create havoc on your teeth. And you will get cavities, and you'll get whatever else goes along. You'll get unhealthy teeth. He said, "You got to keep your enamel strong. You need to stop what you're doing. You need to brush on a regular basis. You need to brush with the right toothpaste. You need to eat certain foods. You got to keep your enamel strong," he would say. Once the enamel is compromised, then decay can set in. Once the decay is on board, I will experience a whole range of challenges with my teeth. Strong enamel protects from tooth decay. And I believe the same is true in my faith journey. I need strong enamel. I need to be protected against certain elements getting into my life. Because once those elements get into my life, then all of a sudden the decay can start and a whole host of challenges are produced in my life. When certain elements of my soul are compromised, decay will set in. Am I with you? Are you with me today? When certain elements of my soul are compromised, decay will set in. We've been on this journey with Colossians 3:12, and it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience." Patience this morning. Patience rises to the surface this morning. It's the Hebrew word means long to get riled. Clothe yourself with long to get riled. Well, the Greek word says long-spiritedness, or a calm spirit. Clothe yourself with that. Why? Because it's going to keep something from getting inside of you and creating havoc in your life. You need to be patient. The Greek, The Greek word, again, means long-spiritedness or calm spirit, even though under severe or under provocation. Provocation is the act of provoking. Something is poking you with a stick. Something is provoking you. Something is poking you with a stick. What it's trying to do is get inside where it can create havoc. We need to, the patience is like soul enamel. And it keeps whatever's trying to poke its way into your life. It keeps it out of that inner core, out of the soul where it can create havoc. Because externally, those things can't create havoc. They got to get into your soul where they can create havoc inside of you, where they can create the most trouble. He said, patience is going to give you the ability to have the strength of soul so these things can't get in and tear your life apart. Am I making sense this morning? It's the ability to take a great deal of punishment from evil people or circumstances without becoming irritated and angry or without taking vengeance. It gives you the ability to get whatever's poking you with a stick. Patience gives you this enamel that can't get through into your soul. God says you're going to have to face a lot of challenges in this life. You're going to have to face a lot of things that they're going to provoke you and endeavor to get inside of you to create havoc inside of your soul. I'm going to give you enamel. I'm going to give you a patience, which is this enamel that will keep you even under severe provocation. You will not let that in. It won't be able to get in. Woo! You're going to have ability to bear pain or trials without complaint. You're going to have the ability to stand up under provocation, annoyance, frustration, or irritation without lashing out. You're going to have that ability because you're going to put on patience. And patience is soul enamel because there's lots of irritants that want to get into your life. There's lots of things that are going to poke at your soul with a stick. And God, why don't you just keep those stick pushers away from me? That doesn't matter. I give you enamel. You need to take care of it. Or that stuff will get inside of you. And it will create havoc. And just so you know, rotting teeth don't only create havoc for you. It's very noticeable to other people. And when these things get into you and start rotting your soul, it's going to turn you into someone you don't want to be. And it's going to turn you into someone other people don't want to be around. And God says, I'm going to give you some soul enamel. It's called patience. I'm going to give you the ability. I'm going to give you the ability to stand up under provocation. Biblical patience is a God exercise or God-given restraint in the face of opposition. It's not passivity. It's power. Soul patience is not passivity. It's power. He said, I'm going to put something inside of you that keeps you, keeps it strong, keeps your enamel strong so these things can't get inside of you. You're going to be able to stand up and under and not lash out. You're going to be able to stand up and under. You're going to be able to endure hardship. You're going to be able to endure stick poking and not let it inside. You're going to get soul enamel. The stronger the soul enamel is, the greater the ability to prevent soul decay. You want to know signs of soul decay? Push the button, please. Patience is an inner power that neutralizes the acid of provocation. I'm learning a lot about patience this week. And I've learned one thing. I've learned more about patience from the Word of God than I did living in trying to be patient. Patience is the inner power that neutralizes the acids of stick poking. It is soul enamel.
signs of it's breaking through, signs you need to turn your face sideways and with the drill. Signs you need to open wide and stay open while he gets in there. Signs, you want to know some of the signs? Losing your temper in the presence of frustration. Boom, it's in, baby. It's in. If you lose your temper when you're frustrated, boom, soul decay. If you become irritated by hardship, soul decay. If you take vengeance in the face of conflict, soul decay. These are signs of your soul is decay, is that it's gotten in, that your patience was down. Whatever happened, your patience were down, and the disease and the acids of life can get in, and it starts to erode your soul. And you become an angry and vengeance-filled person. Losing my capacity to bear pain or trial. The inability to restrain yourself under frustration. Lashing out when you're provoked. Do you do that? Don't shake your head yes or no, please. Because my whole body's going. And I can hear my dentist saying, if you just take care of your teeth. And I can hear God saying, if you just take care of what I'm giving you, those sticks would not get through, and you would not get inside of you frustration and vengeance and anger, and frustration would not be able to get inside of you. He said, I want you to dress yourself in patience. My long to get riled has packed its bags and moving out. You can use that with your kids next time. And you say, my patience is running out. My long to get riled has packed its bags and they're at the front door, child. Anger and vengeance and complaining and grumbling and lashing out and riledness and rearing their ugly head is in my life. It's here. It's here. It's in my life. And maybe we could just say, I'm just an impatient person. But then we are really saying that I'm just an angry and vengeful person. See, that doesn't sound as good, does it? I'm just impatient. Next time, just say I'm vengeful. I'm just a vengeful and angry person. Come on in and have a seat. I'm just a complaining and grumbling and lashing out and riled person. Because in reality, that's what it is. When our patience is down and the spoiled comes in and the rot begins to work, that's what we become. And God says, you're never going to let your light shine before men if you let that into your soul. We're just going to create the most havoc. Get your patience on. Get your patience on. You let that soul enamel build up so that you can withstand those things in life. I'm not taking them out of your life. I've given you something better. Patience. Do you understand? Do I understand? Do we understand that God never gives second best? So if God wants to give you a trouble-free life, or does he want to give you patience? Apparently, patience is the best gift that God wants to give us. And he wants to build up our soul enamel so that even though we face those challenges in life, that they're not getting in and causing a rot in our soul. And turning us into vengeful and angry and complaining and grumbling and lashing out people. How do I strengthen my enamel? How do I strengthen my patience? That's really the question. Your soul enamel can be strengthened. How do I do that? Do we care? Do we want to know? Or is this we're just gonna leave and just say, that's just who I am. I've been this way for 20 years. I've been this way for 30 years. I've been this way for 50, 60 years. Are we gonna go out of here and say, enough is enough? If God thinks I need patience to run in this world, to let my light shine before men, to be the man of God, to be the woman of God that he wants me to be, then I'm going to get patience. Come hell or high water, I'm going to have soul enamel because I'm tired of giving in to the stick pokers. Why do the stick pokers get to call the shots? Give me that stick. Don't that just grind you? That the one who knows how to push your buttons is the one controlling your life. It's high time that stops. And God said, I can give you enamel, well, that won't happen anymore. It'll stop in your life. When you have patience, it'll stop. And your patience and your soul enamel can be strengthened. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Patience appears to be the power that's produced by love. Patience is the power that is emitted from love. Okay, if I want, when I'm trying to work all this together, yeah, I was trying to work it all together all week too. But I was saying, God, I need patience. If this is patience, if this is a soul enamel, if the button pushers or the stick pokers in my life or the situations that are stick pokers in my life, if I'm tired of them making the calls of my life and I'm just saying, God, remove these sticks, and God is saying, get a stronger enamel, get a stronger enamel. Then how do I build that, God? And I sit in my office this week to say, God, how do I build that? Jesus came to give us life and give it to the fullest. Not to let the stick pokers and the button pushers and the situations that do that in my life run my life. And he says, love is patient. He said, you need to be filled up with love. That's what love does. It makes you patient. Love is patient. Love is the patience is the power that is emitting for love. So let me just challenge us. Don't be praying for patience. Be praying for the filling of love. Because praying for patience doesn't produce patience. Being filled with love produces patience. Let's get it right here. We always say, I need patience. Can you pray for patience? I'm done with that. I will never pray for you for patience. I will pray that you are filled with love. Because love is the power inside of us. Because love is the power that produces patience. I have to let out the love before I can be impatient. I got to drain myself of love before I can be impatient. Love's got to leave the environment. Well, I still love you. I'm just impatient with you. You're lying. Flat out lying, because if you loved, you would be patient. That's what it's saying. Being patient without love is impossible. Being infused with love is what will be possible to be patient. When you're infused, listen, when I'm and we're infused with love, impatience is going to be impossible. It just makes, now it's starting to make sense to me. Even as I say it out loud, it's starting to make sense. I'm hoping it's making sense to you. Duh, I can be patient by being filled with love. Love is going to do that in my life, and I can be filled with love. How does that happen in my life? How does that happen? In 1 John 4:8 says this, God is love. Now I'm going to start marrying us together. Can you see? I want to be patient. And to be patient, love produces patience. Okay, God, sign me up. Where do I get the love that produces that kind of enamel for my soul? Because I'm tired of the stick pushers calling the shots in my life. So God, you've convinced me that patience is powerful. It's not passivity, it's power. That no stick can poke through it. That it's soul enamel. That it's power in my life. And I'm going to need that power. God, I want it. And you just told me that it comes from love. Where do I get the love that produces that kind of a soul enamel? And God says, no, wait a minute, I'm love. I'm love. God is love, and And look at 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love of the Father? No, duh. He is love. God just doesn't love. He is love. He's the well of love. He's the manufacturer of love. Why doesn't his love ever run dry? Because he's the producer. And he's producing love. He said, wait a minute, I got some for you. You want me to strengthen your soul enamel? Love does a whole host of other things as well. We're talking about patience today. And he says, I want to fill you with this. I want to strengthen your patience or your soul enamel so that you can stand up under provocation when you're being provoked so they don't get in and cause soul decay. And that happens when you are IV'd with love, when you're infused with love. And don't worry, I'm the manufacturer, God says. I love it. You don't need to outsource this. I got it. And I lavish it. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us. And I give it out. And Paul says to the church of Thessalonica, may the Lord direct your hearts into what? Into God's love. Now, I might be the only one, but this is really making sense to me this morning. And number one, I want to do it because God tells me to do it. Number two, I want to do it because God's going to send me places for my light to shine that somebody's going to try to push my button and shut down my light, and I won't do that anymore. I don't care who it is in your life or what it is in your life. And you might be saying, you don't have my ex. Well, you don't have Cheryl's current either. And God says, it has nothing to do with the outside. It has nothing to do with the button pusher. It's got everything to do with you and me and love. And I'll fill you full of love, and it'll emit a power that'll boom and cause this soul enamel that the button pushers won't be able to get through. And I will lavish it onto you, and I'll direct it right into the inside of you. May the Lord direct his love right inside of your hearts, because that's where it produces the help. So I need to come into the presence of God. Can I suggest this morning that we brush twice a day with Psalm 95? I'm going to turn there just for a minute. All that is opener to the message. Only the message is very short today. But I want to sell you on the message before I gave the message. Because my dentist would say, you know, if you'd use a plaque deterrent, if you would use this enamel strengthening toothpaste, it may help. If you'd use this pronamel, it would help. Because look what the pronamel says, intensive enamel repair. Don't you love that? Always repairs weakened enamel. That's quite a promise. I'm going to label under Psalm 95 in my Bible, I'm going to label that. Always repairs weakened enamel. It always does that. It says right there in the bottom. Actively repairs weakened enamel. Actively repairs weakened enamel. It will. Let's go to Psalm 95 just a few moments this morning. I want us, why? Because I want my patience to be strengthened so these things can't get in my soul. I know that if it's strengthened, that these won't get into my soul. I know for that to be strengthened, I need to be in love. I need to be filled with love. I know that God is love, and he directs that into my soul, and he gives me that, and he lavishes it onto me. Psalm 95 says this, come. Don't you love it when the God of the universe gives you an invitation like that? Come. It doesn't matter if your insurance covers it or not. Every time I go to my dentist now, I says, we probably need to do this. I said, I'm going to fully agree with you, but can you tell me how much that is before we do it? Because my wallet needs to agree with my teeth. Just the honesty. And they come back and say this much, and I'll say, I can do that today. Don't you love it when God just says, come?
because your debt's already been paid. Come, come. I'm ready to infuse you with love. I'm ready to hook you up to the IV. And I'm ready to do something in your life that's going to empower you to stand and not let soul rot get into your soul and start creating havoc in your life. Come, 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 he says. Come, let us sing for joy. Come, let us sing. Push the button, please. Come, sing. I love it. Like the woman at the well. I don't know what I'm going to. I said, God, what would I be singing? I asked him at my office this week. You say, come sing. What? What do I sing, God? I'm going to come into your presence. It's something about music, something about singing, something about in the presence of God causing me to sing. And I really wrestled with that this week. God, what am I going to sing? You invited me to come, but you want me to come sing. Why? Because I'm going to fill you with love. Why? So that you can stand strong under provocation. Why? So that rot can't get into your soul and spoil you. And God said, I'd have you sing this, like the woman at the well. I was seeking, and I wept at my desk this week, for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Come sing, he says. Come sing. Come sing. I don't know about you, but I can feel it. I can feel it at my desk this week. God says, you got it. You got it. And then he wants me to do this. Come shout. I said, that I could do, God. Singing, I have a little question on. Shouting, I could do. He says, I want you to come, and I want you to shout aloud to the rock of your salvation. I want you to do this cry, this perhaps this spiritual primal cry, to raise a noise, to cry out in distress, to shout in triumph. I want you to shout. I want you to shout. I want you to shout. I want you to cry out. I am the rock of your salvation. I am the strength of your salvation. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am more than a conqueror through his love for me. I'm standing in your love, God. I am more than a conqueror. Why? Because I'm in your love, and I'm saturated with your love. This with provocation will not conquer me. Not because I'm stubborn and not because I'm strong-willed. It's because I'm filled with the love of God that's producing this power, that's producing this patience, that's standing up under provocation because I got soul enamel. And the stick pushers and the button pushers can just put your sticks down. Because they're no longer effective in my life. He said, you need to shout, you're a victor. You're a victor. Oh, you're a victor. You need to sing. Come and sing and shout. Come and shout. I think we need to brush twice a day with Psalm 95. Let us shout. Let us shout. Push it. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Extol him, which is the same word for that shout. Him with music and song. I want you to come
And I want you to realize, I want you to come, wait a minute, I want you to come into my presence, and I want you to sing, and I want you to proclaim your victory in me, that what I'm doing in your life right now is enabling and empowering you to be more than a conqueror, to be more and not be conquered by what's in this world. And then I want you to realize, I want you to come and realize, I want you to realize something. I want you to realize, come and realize. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music. Let us come before his presence, is what some of the translations say. Let's come before his face. I want you to realize that you're in my presence. You're standing face to face with the Almighty God, the manufacturer of love. He said, I want you to realize that I've invited you into the very presence of God. I want you to realize you got to come and realize what I've already done in your life. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can you just realize that you're Mike's son? Can you just realize that while you were kicking against me, I loved you so much that I set my son for you. And now that you're my son, don't you think I'll pour my love into you? You got to realize you're in the presence of love. You got to realize you're in the presence of God. You got to realize what I've already done in your life. Would you let that happen? Would you let me permeate your soul with that? Let me give you some real soul enamel. Some real soul enamel in your life. Realize. Come and know. Come and know. You need to realize and you need to know. You need to come and know. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. You got to know and you got to realize, you got to know. Come and know. I want you to know. I want you to know that I am the great God. I want you to know that I am the King of Kings. I am Adonai. I am Elohim. I am Jehovah. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Shema. I am Jehovah Jireh, and I am Jehovah Shalom. I am the Shepherd, and I am the Healer, and I am the Lord Most High. I am the Mighty God. I am the Everlasting Father, and I am the Ancient of Days. He is the light and the love. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and he's God. He's holy, and he's righteous. He's mighty, and he's powerful. Powerful, and he's pure. His love never changes. His promise is always true, and he's inviting you and me into his presence. Or soul decay. In his hands, verse 4 and 5 says, in his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. God says, I want you to know something else. I want you to realize something else. That everything in this earth belongs to me. And whatever you need, I got it. Psalm 24 says this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the sea and established it on the waters. Whatever you got, I can direct your way. Whatever you need, I can direct your way, because I've got it. I own it all. Can you realize that? Can you know that? Verse 6 says this, come and let us bow down and worship, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Come, let us bow down. Let us bow down and worship. You know what bowing down and worship is, I think, in this passage? Will you just come and receive what I have for you? Just come and let me pour onto you. Will you stop running around with like a two-year-old? Will you just worship? Because through worship, I've come to learn this week, because through worship you receive. Will you receive it? Come and receive. Come and receive. I'm suggesting that we brush twice a day with Psalm 95. You know how many more points I have? This stuff is almost $6 a tube. You're worth it. $36 for this sermon illustration. I'd spend it again. God says, will you come and stay? For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. God says, will you just come? I think he's what he's saying is, will you just stay? Will you come and stay? Will you come and stay? Will you come and stay? Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in strife and testing. I love when God uses words like that. Meribah and Massa means strife and testing. You know what that means to me? As you did when you were provoked in that dry place, when there was a stick poker in your life. You remember that day when you gave in to that? Today, if you hear my voice, don't give in to it anymore, because I got a remedy for that. But you've got to come. You've got to come. You've got to come. So the question is, will you come? Because God says, I got a whole enamel strengthening entity called love and everything that's in it, and I want to pour it into you so that you can have this soul enamel that's strong, so this rot can't get in when people are poking you with a stick. Come and sing. Come and shout. Come and realize. Come and receive. Come and stay. Will you come? Stand with me today. Like the woman at the well, seeking for thee. Sing it, New Life. Draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.